in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help, I venture to draw your prayerful attention to Acts chapter 27, 24 and 25. Acts chapter 27, verses 23, 24 and 25. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. This may appear an unusual text for a Thanksgiving service, but I believe the Lord has laid it on thy mind, and I pray the Lord will help me to speak, and that he will bless his word, and that his word may be made a blessing, particularly to any here that may be at this time in the path of trial and difficulty and even danger, even if at the moment things are quiet, the path is reasonably comfortable, and no great difficulties arising. We know not what a day may bring forth, and suddenly we may be plunged into some new experience. So I pray that the Lord may use this word as a comfort to those that walk therein, and that a guide to those who as yet may be called to walk in a path of trial and difficulty. In preparing for this service, my mind had been directed to the 104th Psalm, which is a psalm of praise, particularly acknowledging the goodness of God in the nation, in the showers from heaven and the growth of springs that flow and around the hills, the grass to grow and the birds that sing and so forth, and the moon in his seasons and so forth. But suddenly we come to this: O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great. There go the ships. And this seemed just to confirm my mind in a little way, that we may find some spiritual profit in our meditation tonight. I do remember on one occasion trying just to preach from those words, there go the ships. Now, let's get back to the word. The path of life is likened to different ways. We may think of a pilgrim. We may think of a running a race. We may think of a warfare. We may think of the sowing of the seed and watching for it. We may think also of a voyage, of a journey, and many other illustrations may be used. But as our meditation night centers around a ship and its voyage, we would view it just briefly spiritually. Your ship, your life, my ship. Are we sailing alone? Is there one aboard? Is there a pilot to guide and to direct us? Have we a chart? Do we look into it? What is the chart? The Word of God that reveals to us the danger spots, the rocks, and other danger spots in sailing. Also a direction, how to go forward and sailing. And I think using the old time of sailing, remembering that there's changing scenes. Sometimes there's the contrary wind. Sometimes there's a favorable wind. Sometimes there's a storm. Sometimes there's a treacherous calm when it's so still that very little progress is made. Varied scenes crop up, and I hope this directs our meditation into our life and the experiences in our life. But one more thought just comes to my mind, and that is this. Have you an anchor? Are you sailing about without an anchor? That anchor which is the good hope through grace, which entereth in within the veil, whither the forerunner hath for us entered, even Jesus. Not the hope of a hypocrite. That's like a spider's web that had gone with a touch. But an anchor is something to hold the boat. It doesn't propel the boat, but it holds the boat. And what is that anchor? That is a good hope through grace. And what does that anchor rest upon? Rest in the Lord Jesus' finished work, in the Word of God, the purposes of God. And my friend, it won't stop the wind from blowing. It won't stop the waves from rising. But its job is to hold the boat. And sometimes, friends, if we know, and I think I know a little of it myself, I know I do, it seems that life is just a holding on, feeling everything else is sinking, everything else is against us, feeling it's all dark, temptation, many perplexities. And you fear almost being swept away, and yet holding on, clinging. Can't let go, as I said this afternoon. May God direct us in our meditation. Briefly through the history of this chapter then, you remember how the Apostle Paul, he is now on the way to Rome. God had told him. He was to witness for him in Rome. Let me give you to the exact scripture as it appears, because it came at a time when Paul was in dire trouble. His life was threatened. The Jews were so angry. There were men had plotted together the next morning to kill him, and they were going to fast until they'd done it. And the news of this, as he was taken in into custody, reached those in charge of him, and they were moved to provide a convoy. I won't go into all the details, you probably know it without turning to it, but they provide a convoy, and they left in the early hours of the morning to escape these evil men. But the apostle, dear apostle here, he was told that night. The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." So here, as we look at Paul, we have God's clear word. He's going to Rome to preach Christ. I cannot just forbear, and you must bear if I ramble somewhat, But in the epistle to the Romans, writing to the Romans, that of course long time before he went there, he there testified that he thanked God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, even in Rome. And he says, how I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. That's a beautiful word, the mutual faith of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purpose to come unto you, but was let, that is hindered hitherto, that I may have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. This throws light on the testing time, particularly for the Apostle Paul, apart from those that were on that boat. Paul had God's word, and he had already warned them of the danger of sailing, but they did not listen. So typical of today, turning from sound advice, and they started the voyage. All appeared just right. Young friends, you come to a time in life, and you will do now, where you have to make decisions to be guided in further education, friendships, marriage, homes, work, and so forth. Pray earnestly for guidance. Don't choose the way and then ask God to bless it. God may have mercy upon you and do that, I would admit, but that's not the right way. Pray for submission to the will of God. Pray that you may be helped and guided to do what God tells you. And even if that which God tells you seemed to be against what you wanted, it seems that there you were with something very much just what you want, seemed just right, perhaps financially in every way, and yet, as you look at it and you think of it, there's something that tells you there's something not right. My conscience is warning me. Be very careful then. So, though even doing the right step, and I could tell you this, I don't think I've ever told people this, but just after the war, when I was looking for work, and work opened up for me, and I feel the Lord's hand was in it, and yet, that first week, I was so unhappy that if I could have run home, I would have run home with joy. But my friend, it was the right step. It was the right step. So I speak to the young here, and the older friends too. We all need it. Divine guidance in the steps that we take. And don't be too dismayed, but do watch, even if the wind blows softly, and the Satan will say, look, you're all right. Be careful. But so soon did this great Euroclean tempest blow against them, and the ship was caught. And we read of the terrible plight they were in, exceedingly tossed with tempest. Now, I know this seems contrary to a Thanksgiving service, and yet I suppose all of us, in one way or another, have been in a position like this, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, wondering sometimes where the scene would end. And there neither sun nor stars for many days had not appeared, a great tempest upon them. My friends, some of the tribulations and paths that we go through are lengthened out. Some may be very brief, but all are ordered by God. And then we read that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And there are times when even God's dear children are so low, so tried, so tempted, that they feel, oh, yes, I shall fail, I shall never get over this. It is the end. Jacob, what did you say? All these things are against me. I shall go down to the grave in sorrow. Dear man, how all seems so hard for him. But I say, on this Thanksgiving Day, those of us can look back to times such as that, and who's helped us through? Who granted deliverance? Who gave us strength to endure it? Who upheld us that we were not left to utterly perish? How was it that we didn't sink to rise no more? How was it that though we did sink, that in that sinking so deep and dropping so down so far, yet there were those everlasting arms, there was that presence of God, there was that help, there was that support, there was a word from heaven. Though it seemed an impossibility that there could be any way out, why I'm preaching like this, I do not know. I have to leave it with my God. But my friend, I do pray you're not being starved. I do pray that this will be a help to somebody, even if it were one soul. But I pray it be more than that. But here is in such deep trouble. Then we find that Paul speaks. He says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Paul, how can you say that? I don't see any sign of the sea abating. I don't see any sun appearing. I don't see any stars at night. I want to speak reverently. I always want to be reverent. But Paul would know those cases in the New Testament where the disciples were in their boat. I know it was on a lake, but in great danger twice. Once the Lord said, peace, be still. There was a great calm. On another occasion he came walking on the water to them. But now, Paul, you're in the great ocean. You're alone. How can you say, be of good cheer? Ah, there's a secret. God has appeared. The hardest of all, for those believers in Jesus, is when we're in the situation, as we've just said, tossed, no light, no sun, no stars, and no word from heaven. The only voice you can hear is the devil tempting you. The only verse you hear is the unbelief in your heart stirring up. Oh, friend, what a dark, but God will appear. And there's a change. As soon as a word from heaven, you'll find your faith revived. There's no change in the outside at all. There's still no stars, still no sun, still the waves are rising, still the wind is blowing, but God has spoken. This is the secret. And this is why he says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. You see, sometimes, well, we try and encourage people, but you know, it seems pretty frail at times. We can't really encourage them without some source of grounding for that encouragement. We'd say, well, it can't be long or something like that, but we've no ground perhaps even to say that. But what we can say is when we quote anything of the Word of God, and there we've got to be careful how we quote it, but to say that is what God has done, that what God has said in the past. So he says, there should be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. Well, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. There stood by me. Oh, friends, I look back on my life. I don't want to speak of myself or really necessarily my experiences, but I do think of one or two. That night when I joined the Air Force at the 1940, the night of prayer, You see, those of hardly anybody here can remember that war. Didn't know what it was to leave home. Didn't know whether you were leaving home for the last time. Didn't know what you were going into. I begged the Lord to pray, to help me. And it was that night. The Lord gave me a word. I will instruct thee and teach thee in all the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And the Lord was pleased to hear the petition of a poor trembling young man, begging of him, Lord, confirm it. If it's thee, confirm it. I felt like Gideon. My father knew nothing about it. At breakfast time, just as I was about to leave home, he read and prayed. Second verse he read, no knowledge of it at all. I begged of the Lord that night. My friend, I could tell you other nights. That heart operation, may I mention it, may help somebody. I was quiet in my mind, calm in my spirit, but I just barely woke about 3 o'clock in the morning at the operation day. And I begged the Lord to draw near, and he came. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I said, Lord, that's not me. That can't be for me. The Lord favored me with such sweet, sacred meditation. Friend, it was sacred that night. The Lord stood by me. I needed it, mind you. It wasn't easy. But I needed it. God was there. Am I wrong in telling you these things? It's him, not me. I'm a poor, trembling sinner. Without faith, I'm nothing. But God gives me faith sometimes. Doesn't take it away entirely. But by bereavement when my wife has taken some sweet support, comfort, oh friend, God makes no mistake, makes no mistake. So here there stood by me this night. We could think of instances in the Word of God. You could think of there where Jacob was left alone. Esau and 400 men wrestled with him, the angel of the Lord. And Jacob said, and there the Lord said, let me go, the morning breaks. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Friend, you've been there, haven't you? You felt you couldn't let go. That's what I've been trying to bring before you, the both services. You can't let go. The devil would snatch it out of your hand. Unbelief would snatch it out of your hand. And yet you, there's something that helps you to hold on and not to give up. There stood by me. There's not. I'm going to name another one. You must bear with these rambling thoughts. But my friend, I think of dear Daniel in the den of lions. You children will remember that, won't you? You know well about Daniel. You know why he was put in that den of lions. Because they told him if anyone was praying to God or any other one except the king, in the den you go. But Daniel was going to continue. He prayed 3 times a day and opened his windows toward Jerusalem. And then they watched him, they could see him. And they went to the king, we found him, he's been praying. You know, king, what you've said, and that law can't be broken. The king was full of sorrow, but he couldn't change it. And they've got the big stone and rolled it over the den. There was no escape. Even the king said, thy God whom thou believest is able to save thee. He had some hope. I think he saw something in Daniel that he'd never seen in all his own gods. And there's just something sad there. Darius said, is thy God. He couldn't say, is our God. He couldn't say, my God. What do you say? Is this God your God, our God? Or are you praying, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine, may I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine? Or you don't pray to God. If there's anybody here of age that thinks they can do without God, you're in terrible danger of hell itself at the end of the journey. May God, I know only God can save, and God bids us to warn, and we do so in love. There stood by me this night when there's no one to stand by you. And sometimes, friends, we've got to be very careful there. A person can say, well, there I was, I stood and they all, no one stood with me, but perhaps you've done something wrong yourself. Perhaps you've said something wrong. You want to examine it very closely. But my friend, it's a great comfort to feel the Lord's presence when you seem to be so alone, alone and yet not alone. And he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God. We firmly believe in the ministry of angels. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. He giveth his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The ministry of angels, the hidden host, we believe in it firmly. And I believe in the First World War. The First World War, there was a manifestation of angels at times, and I believe it's reliable too, but I must leave that. But my friend, did not we read somewhere in Holland, in fact I heard about it, and then I read about it in from Holland, about a young woman was going along and there was a man ready to molest her and do something dreadful to her, and he was stopped, and then I think she was able to describe him, and he was taken, and she testified against him, and it was the man, and he confessed. He said, but why didn't you touch him? Why didn't you hurt him? But there were two men there. No one was there. God was there. God was there. Now someone will say, then why did my little girl get caught? Why wasn't there that? That we have to bow before God. Even in a dark time like this, to turn to God and ask him to give you grace, to help you and your child. Why I should say that, I do not know. I leave it. But here is the ministry of angels. And he says, the angel of God, whose I am. Who do you belong to? Well, a child will say, my mummy and my daddy. And I say that reverently. That's quite right. But the vital point is, who do we really belong to? No man can serve two masters. We either serve God or the devil. Now, when I say we serve God, I don't mean to say that we serve that all the time. Sadly, we don't. We fail. But God is the chief one in our life. But sad if God is not in your life. Oh, you say, when I'm in trouble, I pray. God hears sometimes the prayer of those that are prayerless normally. And those that pray just for deliverance in trouble, they don't pray again unless they get into trouble. There's no sense of their sin, no burden upon their soul. But oh, my friend, if you're burdened with the sin, and I pray God you will be, because you should be, and it's not being hard or unkind, because I know this, where God lays the burden of your sin upon a poor sinner, he'll lead you further, he'll lead you, he'll strip you, as we call it in the old Puritans, take away all hope and then prepare you for Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. But whom I serve? You may say, but I can't serve. I'm not a minister. I'm not a deacon. I've not been baptized. No. But my friend, there's a serving God. What about Anna? She served God morning and night and day. in fasting and in prayers. We can serve God. If you have a master, you serve that master, you do what that master tells you to do, and if it's a kind master, a loving master, and come closer still, children, you have your father and your mother, and they may say, now you must not do that, or you should do that. Now, if you really love them, and I believe you do love them, and yet sometimes you're a bit naughty, I don't really want to do that, or I want to do that, don't always obey, but really, on the whole, you obey because you love them. Now, if we love God, we should try and love him and show what we do by our love. Love him by obeying him, walking in his ways. And then we should pray that we might be filled with the fear of God in our hearts. Now, that doesn't mean just a dread of God. It means loving fear. You see, a slave will do what the master will tell him. He knows if he doesn't obey, he'll get the crack of the whip. But a servant that loves master, the master gives the word, and master and mistress, I'll do that because my master's... And what was that one in the Old Testament that could be, go on the day of liberty, and he said, no, I don't want to leave my master. I love my master. I want to serve my master. I want to stay here. Oh, my dear friends, may you love your master. May the Lord Jesus be your master. And what was... I think there's a quote that bear with the ramblings. I'm all over the place in my thoughts, but my friend, here it is. Mary Magdalene, when the Lord said, Mary, it's him, my master, the one I love, is everything to me. And said, Maribona, my master, I love my master. Oh, friend, it's something real. Here, Paul could say that. Paul didn't love Jesus, did he? Not to start with. He hated Jesus. Anyone that loved or spoke about Jesus, into prison, put to death. But God dealt with him. And he served not Satan, not the Pharisees, not himself, but now Jesus. Jesus was everything to him. And he says, whom I serve and whose I am and whom I serve. I should have taken that first. Whose I am, a sinner born again. I was, as Paul says, a persecutor, Pharisees of the strictest order, and much more could be said, blasphemer. But he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. There outside Damascus, the Lord had called me. I didn't know that voice. It was Jesus that I despised. It was the Jesus that I hated. And now my life is devoted. My all is to this Saviour that called me by his divine grace. Whose I am and who I serve. And this means to a child of God, born again, has sins washed away because of Jesus, his death on the cross, as we're speaking this afternoon, and those words, but Jesus, just gone for the moment. But some people might like to know what we tried to preach from this afternoon, and it seems strange, but that's where my poor mind goes at times into a complete blank. But let me just quote it to you exactly as we were. It comes partly to my mind here. You see that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So Christ is once offered to bear the sins of many, that unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He is a sinner saved by divine grace. He is one for whom the Lord on the cross at Calvary gave himself, and because my sin, the sin of his people, were laid on him, and he there suffered for me. Therefore, as he gave himself, the life that I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, therefore, what glad return can I impart for favour so divine? Lord, take my all, this worthless heart, and make it wholly thine. And he said, saying, fear not, Paul. What does that mean? He did fear. That encourages me. We sometimes look at these and think, oh, they never had these, but he did. I don't think it would be written, prayer not Paul. It was a personal word to Paul. He must have had fears. Fear not Paul. And when God speaks of fear not, peace be still, there's a calm. Oh, my friend, sometimes we can't rest on it. We seem to go so far, and yet the storm still, as it were, rumbles on. Still we feel beginning to sink, as it were. But, oh, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And, lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee. Thou must. We do not know the cup that our Master, our Heavenly Master, prepares for us. But it's a must, isn't it? It is through much tribulation that we shall enter into the kingdom. Don't despair, friend. That tribulation burns up the dross. That tribulation draws us closer to Christ. That tribulation is sanctified. This tribulation is made a blessing. But here we have thou must be brought before Caesar. Lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee. Thou must. It is through this way. There's no bypassing trouble. Sometimes with a big city you can go round it if you're driving, but no, it's through it. But the point is, with a believer, you'll come out which side? Heaven side of it. Heaven side of it. And that will not separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wherefore, he says, sirs, be of good cheer. What, Paul? Aren't you being presumptuous? You've no ground in actually looking round you to say that. But God's spoken it. I rest on my God. I hold on to the word, on the word that thou hast spoken, on the word I hang my all, on the word thy blood has sealed, hang my all. I haven't quoted it exactly. On the word thy blood has sealed. My friend, that's the resting place. Be of good cheer. And you know this word comes in the gospel, doesn't it? When there's another sea, so it was a lake, wasn't it? When the Lord was on the mount alone, praying to his Father, and there's that little boat in the middle of the ocean, of the sea, of the lake, and it's the fourth watch of the night, it's dark, and the winds are right against them, it's getting close, they're ready to sink, and the Lord comes, and he walks, and they're frightened, more than the sea, more than the storm, until they hear, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. That's real religion. You're resting on him. Without that, you can't really rest on anything. Not really solidly. When he comes and says, it's I, I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm with you, Israel, passing through the fire. Fear not, for I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The river shall not overflow, and the fire shall not burn upon thee. Thou shalt not be consumed. Thou shalt come through it. Wherefore, says, be of good cheer. I believe God. That it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. Oh, friend, what God has promised, he's able also to perform. The word I did look at just prior to the service in the epistle to Romans, he staggered not, as Abraham, at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. May God give us that stronger persuasion and rest, because it's God spoken it, and God will never break his word. God will fulfill his word. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Again, what does Paul say? I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And what about this believing, this faith? It rests on God and his word. It hangs on it. It pleads it. It looks to it and rests upon it. And my friend, I love to say this because God has given much for faith to feed on, to rest on. When you think of the finished work of Christ, when you think of the blood that cleanses from all sin, when you think of the risen power of Christ, when you think of the intercession of Christ, when you think of the Word of God, when you think of exceeding great and precious promises, when you think of all that God has done and promised to do and has done for you, my friend, faith rests upon your God, upon that God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, that it should be even as it was told me. Now I weary and I must come to a stop, friend. I don't think I can go on much longer, but just a brief word closing. Even as it was told me. Yes. Hang on to what's been told you. You may say, well, how do I know? In the Word of God. Now, you say, well, I don't steal it. No. You may say, well, I don't think, you may say, I don't, you're not able to say that. But do you pray, Lord, help me to say it? Teach me by thy teaching that one day I shall be able to say it. Then I ask God to help you. But when the Lord does bless you and help you, you look back and say, will he help me there? And what does God say? Yes, we say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. What do you say? Lord, help me. What does God say? I will help thee. Look at it. Is there anything lacking? Nothing. Nothing. I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. And what did he tell me? In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. But I have overcome the world. Blessed be God. That's in John, in the close of verse 16. Let me quote the whole verse. It's so precious. I'm sorry, my mind fails me. Where we have this precious word. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. You won't have it outside. In him, peace. In the world, tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And we, by the grace of God, will overcome because of that which God has wrought in us and given to us. It's that which is indestructible. We can even be lose our life, maybe even suffer bonds for Christ's sake, but it can never, as the Word of God says, they can harm you, they can hurt you, they can kill you, but they cannot touch your soul. They cannot touch what God has done for you. They cannot remove what God has done for you, dear soul. So take God, I believe it shall be even as it was told me. And here, I didn't mention it to Paul when he started to speak and tell him to take courage. He told them to take some food, and then he said, not a hair shall fall from your head of any of you. So whether it's through fire, not a hair shall be singed. Whether through water, not a hair shall fail. It doesn't mean so literally, but it means literally God's supreme care over his dear people. Friend, and this is the great God of heaven that will never fail. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. I believe it shall be even as it was told me. These people, they came to the land, some by swimming and some by a broken piece of the ship. But God's people will all be brought finally to glory, to enter in by the gates into the city. And there, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? These are they which have come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. O Christ, thou art the fountain, the deep sweet well of love. On earth the streams I've tasted more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness his mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. I believe God, he shall be even as he told me. Amen.